You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
Well, good Tuesday morning. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Karen Chatton from Gardnerville, Nevada. And you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July 8th, episode 3728. Good morning, Horse World.
When your start time's on Saturday and your finish time's on Sunday, and it doesn't get much better than best conditioned, and completing the challenge is the challenge, you're an endurance rider.
That's right. It is that time of year for the endurance riders around the country. It is Super Bowl time, right? I mean, it's the Super Bowl of endurance coming up this weekend.
It is. On Saturday, we have the Tevis Cup.
That seemed to come up really quick. You know, I yesterday got a report from one of the people that was helping out with the Horse Radio Network virtual Tevis team, and they were on the show yesterday. It looks like we're going to come in second to Stacey Westfall's team, which is much bigger than ours, so that's not shabby at all.
We're doing pretty good there. Yeah. We had a lot of participants this year.
Yeah, and that's she did great. Credit you during the show for being about a quarter of the miles all by yourself. So,
Well, I offered to donate any miles that are needed by anybody else that came up with something going wrong with them or their horse so they couldn't make all of the 100 miles in 100 days. So I have literally like an extra 100 miles.
Yeah, I bet you do. So,
and I haven't entered all of even, so there's that.
I think our team did over 3,000 miles, which is crazy. I mean, that's going from California
that's
to
great.
New Jersey, right? That's a long way.
Yes, that's great.
So congratulations to everybody who participated in that, including my wife, Jennifer. Now, she didn't get to finish because her horse came up lame and she had to do some PT with him. So I think she got to 75 miles or 80 miles or something. So and she's one of those purists that doesn't believe in taking miles from anybody else. So
okay, I gotcha.
She's a purist, old time, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so congratulations to the whole team. I'm very proud of all of you. You did a good job this year. And you know, Stacey Westfall, who's she anyway? So Karen, how are you doing? Did I see you've been out on a ride or two?
The last ride I did was the NASTAR 50, and by some stroke of luck, we ended up actually top 10-ing.
Oh, wow.
I actually rode a little bit of the ride with Jeremy Reynolds.
Oh, wow.
And Jeremy and his wife, Heather, are bringing 8 horses to Tevis this year.
Are they going to ride one on each foot? How are they going to do Roman riding the entire course?
Well,
I wouldn't put that
riders.
Past Jeremy, by the way. But
I know. Yes, he's riding Treasure again, the horse that he rode last year, remember, without a bridle.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's right. But now there's a new rule. Tevis did pass 2 new rules in the last year. Now you are required to ride with a bridle and a breast collar.
Do you have to have a bit?
Those are new rules. I don't think so, because I think a lot of people ride with hackamores
yeah.
and rope halters and other things. So you do have to, you know,
there has to be
follow
something
the rules.
On the head. Yeah.
They didn't want a bunch of people, I'm sure, trying to copy.
Well, yeah, because somebody's going to go over a cliff and then they're in trouble. Right?
Yeah. that's something that's not for most people, especially on Tevis. So
So your foot now, is PT helping?
It is helping. They did all sorts of things. We did dry needling If you don't know what that is, you don't want to
know
what
that is. Don't tell me.
No, you don't want to know. And they did cupping and scraping. And then, of course, just a lot of the regular exercises. So I've been doing just everything I can because I want to be able to ride 50s comfortably and not get to 30, 40 miles. And then for the rest of the day, I'm in a lot of pain. So we're working through it. My PT guy says, if I keep at it, probably in 6 to 9 months, I'll be able to be much more comfortable. But it just takes time. You know, I didn't get to have this nerve pain and plantar fasciitis, or however you say it, overnight. You know, it took a while to get there riding 39,000 miles of endurance. So we're just going to keep plugging away at it. And I'm not giving up. I'm riding, you know, I'm going out for the training rides for like a couple hours at a time and feel great. It's not bothering me. Okay. So I'm getting much better. So yeah. Okay. So it's good to see the progress.
Well, today on the show, it's all about Tevis. Of course, we're going to do some Tevis stats that you put together. I loved how that you used AI for this and managed to get some stats together that were very interesting. Then we're going to go chat with Kristen over at Distance Depot about hay and gear bags for crewing and, you know, for your trailer and barn and stuff. And then we have a couple of brand new riders to Tevis, right? They're newbies?
Yes, we do. Yeah. We have two first-time riders, one from California and one from Canada.
Yay.
And so we're going to be talking to them and get their stories, and we'll share their rider numbers and names so anybody listening can follow along.
Are we going to follow Dots this year? Is that happening?
Yes, I believe so. They have the trackers now. I believe that's included now. So everybody will have a spot tracker or whatever brand they're using. So we can follow that. And they're going to do, of course, now we have, you know, Starlink. So they can get internet to all these remote places that they couldn't before. So now they're going to also be streaming a lot of live video and live coverage. And so for that, people can go to teviscup.org, and we'll put that in the show notes so people can find the website, or you can just Google it and find it. And on ride day, they will have the link prominently displayed so you can find the webcast.
And what time's the ride start on ride day on Saturday?
5:15. And then
Pacific
they have until
time, so that's 8:15 Eastern time.
Mm-hmm. And then they have till 5:15 Sunday morning to finish.
Yeah, it's been nice the last couple of years seeing the videos getting uploaded from the different spots where people are, you know, camped out at the health checks and stuff. So it's been fun watching those. That's added a little to the coverage, being able to see video. And thank you to Starlink for that. Well, let's take a look at some of these stats by the way, I wanted to tell the auditors, too, we are going to have a post show today for the auditors, and that is going to be Karen's Jurassic World Rebirth review. So we're going to get a review of Jurassic World Rebirth. We'll try not to do any spoilers, but that'll be in the post show for the auditors, so hang out after the end of the show. Let's talk some stats. First stat I wanted to bring up that you put these, what you did is took the spreadsheet from Tevis and put them through AI and then had AI give you the stats, which is brilliant, by the way.
Exactly.
Saved you a lot of work.
Exactly. And in 30 seconds, you have all of the totals of which states, and countries,
you know, people
how many
whine about AI,
breeds.
But this is where it shines because it would have taken you 4 hours to do all of this off of that spreadsheet. I mean, you could have done it, but it would have taken a long time. And here, 30 seconds, you had it. So basically, you wouldn't have done it. So
I know, but what's kind of cool is I believe after the ride is over and then all of the results are posted, I think I can take both of the spreadsheets and run them through and then get the results, like how many of which breed or which age or which gender finished or that sort of thing. Did a certain state have a higher completion rate? Of course, that's kind of going to be mixed because we have so many riders from California.
Yeah.
Because the ride is close. So there's a lot of variables. But I think it is kind of interesting. Now we'll be able to just very quickly run a bunch of these stats and get the results.
You're going to become the official statistician of the endurance world.
It's going to be fun. Yeah.
So, Karen, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the first thing I noticed is 107 riders, which, you know, we've been covering this for 15 years now. That seems low to me. It used to, I mean, I remember years when there was almost 200 riders. So is it economy? What do you think?
A lot is economy in general, yes. You know, and then you have other things going on in the state, like there are multiple fires. It's always fire season now. That's like a new season that's been added to the western part of the United States. The fuel prices.
And, you know, in some places in the country has had people starting riding later too. So
that too. And just in general, the cost of things, I think people are cutting back because the cost of horse ownership in general has gone up. Yeah, I think for a lot of people, though, something like Tevis is one of their bucket list goals. So we still do have, you know, it's still 107. That's still, you know, a lot of people that are fully committed. But yeah, it is sad to see. I remember I've done the ride when there was a couple hundred entries. So I imagine it's going to be a little bit less congested, you know, getting around through the course, especially as a crew person, because there is going to be a lot less of the riders and the horses and the crew. Although now I think a lot of people get more crew members. I remember going to Tevis with like one or two crew people, and they were often crewing for more than one horse. Now you often see one horse has four or five crew people. So it's become much more of an event with a lot more participation over the years, I think.
Okay. Well,
let's go over the states and the countries where people are coming from. The majority of the riders are from California with 48.
So about half the entries are California.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the next is Texas with 9, Oregon 4, Nevada 3, Utah 3, Florida 3.
That's the Reynolds. They'd be our Florida representatives.
I know, but they also live in California part of the year.
I wonder
why
they count as their state. I don't know.
Because I think the majority of their competitions are in the Southeast region. So that's what they declare. Yeah. But they're, you know, Heather's originally, I believe, from California, and Jeremy is from Nevada up at Tahoe. Uh-huh. Okay. So let's see. We had Utah 3, Florida 3, Washington 2, Idaho 2, and then the rest of these are 1. Idaho, Arizona, Georgia, Illinois, Kentucky, Montana, North Dakota, Oklahoma, South Dakota, and Virginia. Then we have our foreign riders, 2 from France, 2 from Germany, looks like 2 from the UK, 1 from Italy, and then 1 from all of these, Canada, Sweden, Australia, Colombia, and Lithuania.
So we have our 1 Canadian rider on the show today. He's going to be joining us.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. And now let's go to the horses.
Okay.
Which are primarily Arabians or an Arabian-related.
Big surprise.
I know. So out of the 107, we have 58 Arabians, 7 Arabian crosses. But see, here we also have 3 Anglo-Arabians, 1 Morab, 1 Korab, 1 Arabian Appaloosa. So clearly most of the horses are
Arabian.
Part or full Arabian.
Yeah.
7 Mustangs. They're the next largest group. 3 Mules.
3 Mules this year. Yay.
Uh-huh. 2 Shaggyas, 1 Rocky Mountain, One Rocky Mountain part Arabian.
I wonder another... if it gates.
I don't know. We'll have to check it out. Because, yes, I'm not seeing a lot of gated horses here. It looks like the Rocky Mountain
maybe the part Rocky Mountain. Horse, maybe gates. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, one spotted, one grade horse, which is probably just an unregistered Arabian. Yeah.
Right.
And a spotted saddle horse and one TB mule.
Thoroughbred
so
mule.
I guess that makes it four mules.
Yeah. Wow, that's cool. Right. I think TB mule, is that thoroughbred mule?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
So I don't know if there's a term for that, like there is Anglo.
I wonder if that's more mules. Arabian. Do you usually see that many mules? I know we usually see one, but...
Yeah, there usually is at least a couple.
Yeah, okay.
Most years, I think. And now let's go to gender. Okay. So there's 77 geldings, 29 mares, and one stallion.
Do we have the gender of the riders?
You know... I didn't ask that just because it would have to sort it out by the name.
Oh, yeah.
And there's so many names that could go either way.
Yeah. Is it usually what it usually is percentage wise? Female to male?
I think it's clearly women dominate as far as numbers go. I'm not really sure.
So men dominate as far as the horses, women dominate as far as the riders.
if that's what you call a gelding.
Yeah.
Yes, they definitely do.
I thought the next one was interesting too.
Right, the horse height. So they range mostly the majority between 14.2 and 15.3 hands.
Which makes sense, right? That's Arabian. That's what Arabians range. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah. And then the average basically works out to about 15 hands. But we have one that is 13.3.
A little pony.
And then three that are at 16.1. And it looks like the most 15.1, and there's 24 of those.
So, Arabs, have they been 14.2 to 15.1 in that range?
My horse Bo that I did Tevis on six times, he was 15.1.
Okay.
And I almost, that was the one thing when I bought him that I didn't like. I wanted a shorter horse,
okay.
But he had everything else going on, so I went with it. So,
what are your...
Jovi's 14.2, maybe 14.3, right around in between there. My little gray horse is 14 hands. And then the 6-year-old cowboy, I'm afraid to measure because his butt is taller than the fence. So I'm lifting weights in anticipation for being able to keep getting on that horse because Arabs keep growing until they're like 8. And so he just keeps growing. He's going to end up a good 15 hands, I think, maybe a little over.
A collapsible, lightweight mounting block that you can attach to the back of your saddle to bring along with you? Do they have that yet? I need to invent that.
Well, that's why I teach all of my horses to move over to objects. I'll use a water trough
or
something. Yeah. Anything I can find, even a little dip. If I get 3 inches, that's going to help because my stirrup is like right at my chin level. Because I'm short. So, So now the other interesting thing is the ages of these horses. They range from 6 to 25.
Oh, wow. I'm surprised we got 3 overnight. Actually, you got 10 over 18 years old.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bo was up in his, he was over 20 when he did it the last time.
That's pretty good.
So.
They're mostly, what's your average there?
It looks like the average is 12.3 years.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
It looks like you've got quite a few that are... 9 and 10 and quite a few 14 and 15. I think going to Tevis with an experienced horse that's a little older is an advantage in general. I don't know. I know in the past they've had 5-year-olds that have done it, but now there's a rule they have to be at least 6, which I think is reasonable. Yeah. And I think FEI rides require the horse to be 7 to do 100.
Well, that makes sense, right? Oops, sorry about that. I bumped my mic.
All right. That's okay. And we've had, remember we interviewed Claire Godwin with her horse Mercury, who completed the Tevis when he was 25 or 26.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And he was one of those short little horses. He was also like a little 14 or 14 one hand little horse, and he did great.
We'll do this one last statistic yet before we head over to Kristen, but it was the number who have done previous rides or previous Tevises?
Right. We have riders with previous completions. 37 of them have completed it at least once.
Tevis, at
33
least once.
Tevis.
Okay.
And 33 horses have done it at least once. The total rider completions of the riders entered this year are 141. And for horses, a total of 84.
Huh, that's interesting. So basically a third of the field has completed before.
Looks like it.
Yeah. Huh, interesting. Well, that'll be fun. It'll be fun to see, to see how it goes. I wonder how many times a first-timer has won Tevis. Do you know what I mean?
That would be an interesting statistic as well.
Yeah, because...
In the early years... Every year it was somebody that did it for the first time, until people started going back and doing it repeatedly. I know Jeremy's gonna, depending on how well he does this year, he could end up tied for the most wins. He has 5 and Donna Fitzgerald has 6.
Okay.
So there's some records this year that might be getting broken. You don't want to talk too much about it and jinx anything.
Right.
We just want to wish them all good luck. Hope they all have a nice, safe ride.
Yeah, have a safe ride this weekend for sure. And we're going to talk to a couple of the newbies that are going to be riding in just a minute. But first, we have to tell you, Sentinel Extruded Feed is expertly formulated for senior horse health. Speaking of senior horses, just ask Dr. Mike Davis, founder and CEO of New England Equine Medical and Surgical Center. He's focused on providing his patients with the highest quality of care and says Sentinel Senior Horse Feed is ideal for older horses with poor teeth or horses prone to choke. Sentinel Senior provides a highly fortified balance of nutrients and exclusive blend of natural additives to meet the increased nutritional demands of senior horses. Visit feedsentinel.com/trusted to learn more about the senior horse feed trusted by veterinarians like Dr. Mike Davis. I think we've had him on the show before too. That's feedsentinel.com/trusted. I need a senior feed, I think, to keep me lucid so I can read the ads better. I think that's what I need.
Well, next up, Kristen from the Distance Depot is joining us, and we're going to be talking about fun stuff that you need if you're going to be crewing, like at a ride like Tevis or any other distance ride. Hay and gear bags and folding carts. So welcome, Kristen.
Well, thanks for having me. We do have a bunch of gear bags that can be used for crew or just at a hold as well, probably as in the barn at a show. Lots of great uses for these bags. And we have a whole page dedicated to bale bags and hay bags. So if you look under for the campground or the campsite and barn, you'll find all of these items on that page, with the exception of the folded carts, but we'll get to that. So we have a Cashel crew and gear bag, and it has separate compartments. So you can put, a cooler, some hay, your grain, leg wraps, all the necessities, an extra halter, all of that great stuff. And all of these bags that I'm going to reference can be embroidered. So you can put your own name on there, your horse's name, your farm name. So, and we've even seen them used as gifts because they make great gifts too. The second bag we have is the Easy Care Deluxe Hay and Gear Bag. This is a fantastic bag. Also, it's a great size. It's compact. where that casual gear bag is quite a little bit bigger. And the dimensions are all listed on the website, so you can check them out. We also have hay bags, like a rolling bale bag, and you can use that for crewing. You can stuff it with hay. It will take a big, large bale, and it has vent holes if you are storing your hay in it in the trailer so that it won't get moldy. And several different, we have a Weaver bale bag, we have Tough-One bale bag, and all the information with sizes and dimensions are on the website too. And one hay bag I wanted to mention real quick that's super popular, especially at a ride like this, because you can stuff it full of hay, Trail Rights mesh hay bag. We sell a ton of those. It holds a ton of hay, so you can stuff all your flakes of hay and have it full for the whole day. And it's great at the trailer too, because your horse can just
I love those.
Chow
I have
down.
Several.
Yes,
several of those. As you know, I keep ordering more.
and they come in great colors. Yeah. So, you know, if you have a favorite color, we stock all their colors. So that's awesome. And then as far as the Tipke Fold-It cart, this thing is awesome. It's marine grade aluminum, so it means it's not going to rust even in super salty air and so on. So when we get electrolytes all over it and, you know, all our junk in there, it's going to hold up. It also, you can order it with air-filled tires, but I always recommend the airless foam-filled tires because they won't go flat. So if you're, you know, running over thorns and rocks and you have this thing loaded full, it'll move up to 330 pounds of gear. So you can stuff a lot in this thing, and it folds up super small, so easily will fit in your stall or in the back of your trailer or in your truck.
It looks like it's aluminum. Is that right?
It is. Yep. Marine grade aluminum. And yep. And then it has like 20 inch wheels. So great big wheels. It'll roll over anything. It has a nice handle. And little feet, you can put the feet down so it'll just stand and hold all your gear and not tip over. These are amazing carts, and they ship for free.
Let me spell that so they know. It's a Tipke, T-I-P-K-E, Fold-It Marine Cart is how it's listed there.
That's correct.
They're not inexpensive, but I imagine they would just last a long time.
Yes, they last forever. Yeah, we've had one. We use it for everything, and I've sold them, you know, to guys who do race cars and all kinds of things because they can load it up. Garden, I have gardeners, all kinds of stuff. So it has a multitude of uses for sure.
Okay, cool. I hadn't seen these before. They're pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And the fact that you can fold it all up and it fits in there is great.
How does somebody get in touch with you?
Well, they can visit us at www.thedistancedepot.com. or call us toll-free, 866-863-2349.
Our next guest is Rachel Gobbles, who is from Alberta, Canada. She is currently in Auburn getting ready to ride the Tevis Cup. This will be her first Tevis, and we're going to talk to her. Woohoo! So welcome, Rachel. Good morning, and thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
Well, let's get a little history from you. I see you started riding when you were six with your grandfather. Tell us about him.
So my grandpa rode, he rode for quite a few years in Alberta and a little bit internationally. He rode the Tevis four times on his homebred horses, one in Appaloosa, an Appaloosa Arabian Cross, and then a Anglo-Arab, and he finished all four times. And then that Appaloosa Arabian Cross, he ended up taking to Holland for the 94 International World Games. So that was really exciting. And then that was the mare he put me on when I was 6 years old. And she just packed me around on the trails and basically let me get away with not being a very good rider because I didn't have to steer or anything. She just packed me down the trail and we covered a lot of ground that way. And it was a really, really great way to grow up. So I was always very inspired by my grandpa's Cougar Rock photo that hung over the kitchen table there in their dining room. So I always thought, well, I got to get myself a photo like that.
So you're going to go over Cougar Rock.
Well, yeah, you gotta once you're here. I mean, it's the original trail, so I gotta do her.
That's right. I'm so proud of you. You do. Oh my gosh. So let's talk about your horse that you're going to be riding this year.
Yeah. So I brought Petrova. She's a 14-year-old straight Russian Arabian mare that I bought as an 11-year-old pasture pup. She was a little bit of a hot-headed kind of a gal. It was kind of funny. We were just going down the driveway from her breeders after I'd picked her, loaded her up. And I thought, you know, it's not too late to take her back. Maybe I should take her back, but we didn't. And I stuck it through and it's worked out okay. We've got kind of a mutual understanding going on now. And while she's still pretty reactive and looking at things, she's not nearly, well, she's not trying to kill me every minute. So that's good.
So
good.
So you're bringing this particular horse to Tevis.
Yeah.
The reactive, spooky one.
Yeah, the reactive, spooky one. So, I mean, hopefully her sense of self-preservation doesn't throw me off a cliff. I think it'll be fine. Once we get 30 miles under her, she usually settles. So if we make it to Robinson, everything will be fine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the bad parts. There's nothing bad in the first 30 miles. You'll be safe.
Yeah.
Karen's over there sweating.
Yeah, exactly. She's a very tough mare. So I hope that pulls through for us. She's got great feet and she's started to have some good recoveries now that she's getting, you know, more years of conditioning under her. And she's just super, super stubborn. And that stubborn, strong will seems to really pull through well for endurance. So not so good when we're having a disagreement, but good for on the trail.
Okay. How is she with bridges and water crossings?
Usually, well, it depends on how new it is. I mean, we rode out our first time here yesterday and we had a bit of an episode getting over the train tracks to get onto the trail from the finish line, but that was fine. Once we got it under control the first time, she was okay the second time. So I think she'll manage, especially if there's other horses around that she sees goes first, or we may just take a minute or two to discuss whether or not we should go over it. And then usually she goes over the thing. So
good. How tall is she?
She's 15 hands.
Okay. That's about the average. We were earlier discussing some of the statistics among the 107 riders that are currently entered.
Oh, yeah. And I had her weighed here recently. She's 930 pounds. So she's, pretty average size. She's got awesome feet. She's got lots of bone, which is really nice. So, yeah, she's a solid little girl.
So do you get, I got to ask you, you're a veterinarian, right? Did I read that?
No, I'm not a vet.
Okay. So do you get nervous before rides, or are you nervous to start all your rides, or are you like, I'm going, I got this?
I mean, tennis is a little different because it's been like a 8-year plan. So, I mean, there's a little bit of pressure on that. But usually the rest of my rides, especially lately, it's just been kind of like, oh, it's just another day of training. So I don't usually get too worked up about them because I'm just kind of, I get into a mindset where I'm just grinding out more training miles. So, but this one, the stakes are a little higher. I mean, and it's pretty expensive to drive down here from Canada, especially with the exchange rate. So, I mean, there's a lot invested into getting here as well.
We were discussing that earlier there's only 107 riding this year, which is down. And we were discussing that as one of the reasons too, I think, is, you know, the cost. And, you know, you can look at what it cost you to come all the way from Alberta.
Yeah. So, yeah, it took us 3 days to get here. We did a 12-hour drive into Montana and then 10 hours into Idaho, and then took us another 12 hours to get here. So it was kind of a long day. So
is Petrova
long travel.
She took it well? She travels well?
Yeah, she travels pretty good. So we had a little bit of excitement in Nevada with the bearings. I had the bearings checked before we left, but apparently they just greased them on my trailer and didn't check them like they said they did. So we had a mobile mechanic come on the side of Interstate 80 and change bearings in my trailer. So that took a little extra time.
there's always
something exciting.
Well, at least you made it this far, so that's good.
Yes. So, no, it should be great. I'm really excited to be here, and I'm grateful to all the people that have helped me along the way. And yeah, it's gonna be a great time. So hopefully I make it to the finish line. But, you know, I am aware of the odds, so we'll try to enjoy the journey and take it from there.
Well, we wish you the best of luck. Before you go, though, give a shout out to your crew because they're so important.
Yes, they are. So I'm very grateful. I've got my fiance, Brian, and my best friend, Erica, is flying up from Alberta along with her mom. So they'll be crewing for me, and it'll be a great time. So
Yay.
I'm excited.
Well, we're going to follow you. Do we have a number for
Yes. Yeah. She's rider number 23.
Okay, so if you're following the dots this weekend, look for rider number 23. We're going to root for you, Rachel, all right?
All right, thanks, Glenn.
All right, we'll see you. We'll talk to you. Let's make sure we talk to you after.
Okay, very good. You guys take care.
All right, thanks, Rachel.
Yes, and good luck.
Bye.
Have a safe ride.
Yes, thank you.
The Arabian Horse Association is a proud sponsor of the Endurance Rider Podcast. The Arabian horse was born in the desert, built for endurance, and proven on the trail. Each year, we celebrate this legacy at Distance Nationals, where riders of all levels come together for an unforgettable competition. This year, we're heading to Old Salaam Ride site in New Centerville, Idaho. Join us for national championship rides and open rides, all showcasing the heart and stamina of the Arabian horse. Ready to ride? Learn more at arabianhorses.org.
Keep your horse feeling their best with supplement brands you can trust, delivered right on time with Chewy Auto Ship. Never run out again with easy repeat deliveries on your schedule, and save big while you're at it. Get 40% off your first auto ship order of supplements for your horse with the code EQSUP at checkout. 40% off. That's a pretty good deal. So let me repeat that sentence. Get 40% off your first auto ship order of supplements for your horse with code EQSUP at checkout. For your favorite brands for fast shipping, there's Chewy. Shop now at chewy.com/equine. That's a lot on supplements if you're putting 40% off your first auto ship. That's a pretty good deal.
And our next guest is Ari Spoto, who is a first-time Tavis rider this year, and she is also currently in Auburn getting ready to ride the Western States Trail on Saturday. Welcome, Ari. Thank you for joining us today.
Good morning, Karen. How are you?
We're good. We're having fun talking about Tavis, the stats, and two of you first-time riders this year. And so tell us, how was your trip getting to Auburn?
It was a pretty, we planned for everything to go wrong, and luckily enough, nothing did. So that is the fantastic news we have to share. And it's just, you know, kind of being ready for the worst, but hoping for the best.
Oh, good. Good. So give us a little history on yourself. When did you get started and how in the sport?
So I've grown up riding horses. I actually grew up in Sacramento and rode English and Western and did the equitation and pleasure and all that fun CSHA show stuff. And from there, when I went to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, I learned about so many other disciplines. And luckily enough, it was in 2021, I was back home visiting my family in Sacramento, and someone mentioned the coolest ride and tie. And from there, I learned all about ride and ties, equithons, and most importantly, endurance. And it was a very lucky coincidence that my wonderful mentor and friend, Dana Tridy, was putting on a ride and tie equithon endurance ride in Santa Margarita, California. And I called her up and she goes, well, why don't you come and ride a horse with me and let's see what you think. And then we'll go from there. And that was, I think, 4 years ago now. And I've been riding with Dana doing LDs, and she introduced me to all of my first endurance milestones. And here we are today getting ready for Tavis. And she unfortunately can't join me this weekend, but She's with us in spirit.
How did you meet up with Gretchen, who is the owner of the horse you're riding this year?
So I was luckily introduced to Gretchen through the winter desert rides in California. So she hosts the Fire Mountain ride, and a friend of mine let me ride her other wonderful horse. Her name is Monica Bennett. She's actually doing Tevis this year as well. And we did the Pioneer ride, 3 days of 50s. And at the end of that, I met Gretchen, who was the ride manager. And Gretchen said, okay, well, let's maybe talk about doing 20 mule team. And then I get a message from her a couple weeks later going, let's do the 100 at 20 mule team. And I thought, oh my goodness. Okay. And we rode it together. Gretchen was a wonderful, kind mentor for that ride and shared her wonderful horse. And so now I'm sitting with her wonderful horse, and she'll be here on Friday to crew and be a part of the fun.
Awesome. I rode with her at Fire Mountain this year with that horse. Wonderful. And so tell us a little. We finished together. And we came in hot. We had the whole Crater Hill gang right on our heels. And they were flying. And Gretchen did not want to get past, because when you go into the finish of that ride, to the left is the finish and to the right is where Gretchen lives.
Oh,
and she
yeah.
says, you need to get on the right side of my horse, or she's going to turn and try to go home. And then, of course, she didn't want to get passed by this group of, I don't know, seven horses coming right hot on our heels. And so we literally just ran the last mile all the way in.
Wow.
It was kind of crazy because I didn't want to go that fast. But I don't think either of us really had much choice. We were just sort of in it. And we finished and everybody did great. We had a great ride that day. And that was a nice little horse. So tell us about her.
So Lonnie was introduced to me. I actually drove out to Gretchen's property in Ridgecrest, and we did a couple practice rides before the 20 Mule Team 100, and I got to know her. I'm only 5'2", and Lonnie's probably just pushing a little above 14, if not 14, so we're kind of the short and stout duo. So Lonnie is 9 years old, and Gretchen has taken her to wonderful 50s, and she's done pretty well with her. And so she's actually let her granddaughter start to ride her and do some fun intro to endurance riding. And she's a great little mare. I've had a blast riding her, and it's just, I'm very fortunate to have Gretchen share her with me.
So let me get this right, if I'm understanding this correctly. This will be your second 100 at Tevis.
This will be my second 100-mile ride, and this will be my first Tevis ride. Yes.
Yeah, okay. So, Karen, to review our two first-time riders here, the first one is riding a horse that she described as reactive and spooky and said that she is reactive and spooky, so she's riding that at Tevis. And then we have you doing your second 100 at Tevis. We are following two exciting riders this year. it sounds like your horse has more experience at it, though.
Oh, Lonnie has a lot of skills. And one of the things I think I learned from Dana and from kind of the Equithon introduction was that I like to get off and run with her. So it's a lot of fun. We did the educational ride last month and got to learn the canyons. So she would actually come to the beginning of a big downhill and stop, like, okay, get off.
What's wrong with you? I don't know you're up there.
Oh, she's a smart little cookie. She is a little spooky, but for the most part, she is tried and true. And I joke that when she starts giving me her opinion, she gets a little sassy molassy on me.
What's the thing that you're most concerned about? Are you concerned about anything, or is there one thing that you're a little concerned about?
Well, when I got to do some of the practice riding, I got to see a good portion of the trail. And there are sections that are pretty narrow. So that would probably be the only thing between you and the river is about 18 inches. So that's something you have to consider. But, you know, we just take it checkpoint by checkpoint, mile by mile, and the goal from the beginning will just be to get to the next spot. And I think if you go at it from that perspective, it'll be a good ride. And if at some point you just get told that that's the end, then you got to think about your accomplishment rather than the fact that you didn't get to the finish line.
Well, I'm assuming you're in shape too, because you do ride and tie, so which means you run. I mean, you're in shape too. That's got to help for 100.
You know, I have a border collie too, so he's kind of the motivation to get out and move. So we actually, all three of us, the border collie, the horse, and I all just walked up the end of the trail and took a nice little mile walk before we got on and started chatting with you guys.
Oh, wow. And now, one thing we have to talk about that we failed to talk about earlier was the heat. It's supposed to be hot. Is it hot?
It's toasty. She's been living in San Luis Obispo, California, which is a coastal town about maybe 5 miles as the crow flies from the ocean. So it hasn't been getting above 70s, 80 maybe where we live. So we actually do try to trailer out and go inland to an area called Santa Margarita or Paso Robles, California, where they have a little bit more rolling hills. We can get up to about maybe 1500 feet and just try to go out there in the heat of the day. So we do try to do the best we can, but unfortunately today we're going to go out for a ride in the middle of the day so we can start getting ready for that toasty heat.
Yeah, Karen, what'd you say? What was the temperature supposed to be on Saturday?
It's close to 100.
Ugh. That's what I saw. Growing up in Sacramento,
Tempest is always hot, though. So there's that. It's almost always hot.
Exactly. And so you just have to be prepared. So lots of sunscreen, lots of water, electrolytes for everybody, and just try to stay ahead of it.
And utilize those volunteers because they're everywhere and they'll help you with cooling your horse. And wow. This is so exciting. You are rider number 109 for those listening that want to follow along. And we wish you the best of luck and a great ride.
Thank you very much. We're very excited and we look forward to everybody following along and enjoying our journey with us.
Ari, give a shout out quickly before we end here to your team. Who's going to be crewing for you?
So I've got Gretchen Montgomery, the wonderful owner of Lonnie. She's going to be coming in. We've got Peggy P, who's coming in from San Luis Obispo, great friend, and my mom, Christy Spoto.
Oh, wow.
So it's going to be a team of three strong, lovely ladies kicking some booty out on the trail.
Well, your mom's going to make sure you're hydrated. So we have no problem with you in the heat. She's there. She's going to make sure you're drinking enough. She will be harassing you at every stop.
Exactly. So great team. It's going to be three of us, stout and mighty team girls.
Ari, kick butt this weekend. You got this.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Good luck to everyone.
Well, that's it for now. Where can people find all the details for Tevis? Just look up teviscup.org. That's where you're going to find all the webcasts and all that stuff this weekend, right?
Yep, exactly. And my blog is my name, KarenChatton.com. I've actually been starting to post again more regularly.
Yay! It was so popular back then, and then you just got busy riding.
I know.
Plus, things changed. You know, how we do blogs has changed a lot since you and I did our first blog. So,
I know.
Remember the old days? We practically had to code them.
We did.
If you wanted a capital letter, we had to go into the code and actually type it in so that it would be capital. I mean, it was so bad back then. But yeah, we did it. You did it. You were probably one of the first in endurance riding to do a blog back in the day.
I think so. I was getting over 10,000 visitors, unique visitors a month.
Well, you had a ton of articles, so, too.
I did. Yeah. I had quite a lot.
KarenChatton.com, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, of course, you can follow Horses in the Morning at horsesinthemorning.com. We're here 5 days a week. Endurance is once a month, and the endurance is always the second Tuesday of every month. And if you search Endurance Rider on your podcast player, you'll find this episode by itself. So if you want to look back at all the past endurance episodes, just do that, and you'll find it standalone all by itself. Endurance Rider has its own RSS feed right there on your podcast player. And of course, as I said, we're here every day of the week. Lisa Wysocki, the author, and I will be together Wednesday and Friday. And then on Thursday of this week, we have the National Reining Horse Association's episode. So we have the Reiners on Thursday. Thank you, Karen, for putting this together. Auditors, hang on. We're going to do a post show for you today. And we're going to talk a little movies because Karen saw one she's going to talk about. Thanks, everybody.
Be safe out there and have a good ride.